Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the other day I was behind somebody and they had a bumper sticker on their vehicle, and part of it was barely legible, but I could still make out the bottom part of it. And probably most of you have seen this bumper sticker at one time or another, or maybe you've seen a sign somewhere at a church or something. And basically it was, "No, N-O, Jesus, N-O, peace. K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, peace."
Amen.
No Jesus, take Jesus out of things, and you're not going to have any peace. But have Jesus involved in stuff. Have Jesus a part of your life. Have Jesus a part of what you're doing. You're going to have peace. That's not to say that you won't go through some rough times in your life and you won't have some hard times and some struggles sometimes, but you're going to have peace even when you're going through those things that you wouldn't have otherwise. I think one of the things that we've witnessed over the last, I guess it's been probably close to 50 years by now, is when we took prayer out of schools. And I remember as a kid in grade school in Arkansas, at a little school in Prairie Grove, Arkansas, Farmington, Arkansas. And the graduating class the year I started first grade was 12 people. That shows you how big the school was. And first grade class was combined with a second grade class. Shows you how many first graders they had. And wasn't a very big school. But you know what? They had Bible reading, they had prayer. And we didn't have some of the stuff going on in our community, in our school, that they have today. And some people would say, "Well, yeah, but you were in a little bitty town in Podunk, Arkansas, and you know, you didn't have stuff like that." I got news for you. I've just have completed, in fact, actually this coming Tuesday night's my graduation night from this drug awareness class I've been going to. And I'll tell you, these little podunk towns, they have just as big a drug problems and stuff like that as anybody else. And when you put it on a comparative scale, sometimes that's a lot bigger problem than some of the big cities when you break it out statistically and per capita as to what's going on. Because they have taken Jesus out of stuff. And the more we take God out of stuff, the more we take Jesus out of stuff, the more violence we have, the more crime we have. Why? Because we don't have a relationship with the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
If we K-N-O-W know Jesus, then we are going to have that relationship with Him and we are going to have that peace. I was reading an article about a week ago and written by Don Potter in Ministries Magazine, and it was titled, "Who's on Your Back?" Who's on your back? And it related basically to the load that and the burdens that those in ministry sometimes have to carry. And he talks in this article about Jesus being the ultimate burden bearer and how that Jesus will bear our burdens. And as I was reading that article, God began to speak to me regarding today's message of "No Jesus, No Peace." You see, in the Gospels of Matthew, chapter 21, Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, Gospel of John, chapter 12, we read of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem days prior to His crucifixion. And how did He enter Jerusalem? That, what we celebrate now as Palm Sunday. He entered it on the back of a donkey. And it wasn't a full-grown adult donkey either. It was a baby donkey. He entered Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. In fact, Matthew 21, verses 7 and 9, and I'm going to read this out of the Complete Jewish Bible for you here this morning. It says, "They brought the donkey and the colt and put their robes on him, and Yeshua sat on them. Crowds of people carpeted the road with their clothing, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds ahead of him and behind shouted, 'Please deliver us! Please deliver us to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai.'" And King James, it reads, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You in the highest heaven, please deliver us." They were expecting deliverance to come from Jesus as he rode in to Jerusalem that day. They were expecting something more than really than some guy riding in on the back of a donkey and going to do a few other things. They were expecting that Jesus was going to come in. He was going to cast out the Romans. He was going to deliver them from all their oppressors, and that he was going and set up his earthly kingdom. Yes, he was coming to bring deliverance, but it wasn't the type of deliverance that they were expecting. You see, he was coming to bring a greater deliverance than the oppression that they suffered from the Romans. Oh yes, the Roman oppression was great, and it was hard at many times, but it was nothing like the oppression of sin that we're all born under. It's nothing like the oppression of sin that we each have to deal with every day of our life. And he came to deliver us from that sin. That's what he came to do then. Yes, the day is coming that he will return as Messiah. He will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will set up an earthly kingdom. But at that time, he came to bring what? Peace. Peace in your spirit. Deliverance from sin. You know what? When you get delivered from sin, what does it bring? It brings peace. It brings peace. Now, something that impressed me about this article here, though, is we tend to leave out, as we talk about this story, and basically what we're talking about there is a really good Palm Sunday message, you know. But we leave out a key player in this all the time. We don't think about so much. Who do you think that key player is? Huh? No. The donkey. Actually, it was the colt of the donkey that we're talking about here. It was the little one here. And we leave out this important player. It was the donkey colt. Because it says in Matthew 21, 1 through 2, and as they were approaching Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. And Yeshua sent two Talmidim. And with these instructions, go into the village ahead of you, and you will immediately find a donkey tethered there with its colt. Untie them and bring them to me. Now, I checked up a little bit on a donkey colt here. One thing, a donkey colt is too young to let somebody that's a full-grown adult male ride it. It would damage it. It would injure it to let an adult male ride it. And second off, what else do you think that a donkey colt's not going to want to do? He's not going to want to let somebody ride him either. I've never ridden some of these animals, but I do remember when I was a little kid, probably about 5 years old, maybe 4 years old, we had a little bull calf, and it was out in our backyard one day, and I kept talking about it, and we called him Bozo, and I kept talking about I was going to ride old Bozo someday, and he was laying down. My dad said, "Son, Bozo's laying down. Why don't you go ride him?" I went and I jumped on Bozo's back. And I can tell you about how long that ride lasts. As long as it took for Bozo to get to his feet and throw me off. That's how long it took. Because they're unbroken. They're not used to having any weight put on their back or anyone riding on them. So they brought this donkey there that on whom man had never sat. He was too young to be ridden. But yet, when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, got on him, it was an easy burden. You know, I doubt that donkey barely even felt him. Because they say that until a donkey colt is 4 years old, it will damage their growth plates if somebody rides them. And it will injure them in that sense. Not only they're trying to kick somebody off. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, got on his back. Not a problem. Now, there's something else for those of you that have internet access. You might want to look this up. I didn't have time to print it out the other day. But there's something called the Legend of the Donkey. Did you ever hear of that? All right, it's the Legend of the Donkey Cross. Let me get it straight. That's what you have to type in. The Legend of the Donkey Cross. And it's kind of interesting because in this Legend of the Donkey Cross thing, the donkey has a cross on its back. If you look at the pattern of the way its hair is on its back, it's got a cross pattern on its back. And of course, you've heard of the legend of the dogwood tree. Most everybody's heard of that legend of the dogwood tree, about it and the crucifixion and so on. Well, this is the fact. They say that the donkey colt then followed Jesus to Calvary and so on. And because of that, the donkey now has a cross on its back. And I know that's probably just all legend there and everything. Kind of a neat little story to read and makes you feel good sometimes. But you know what? The donkey had peace when Jesus was on his back. I'll guarantee you, if I'd gotten on his back, it would have been a short ride. Very short ride. I'd have been thrown to the floor real quick. But yet he knew peace. There's another story the Bible tells us in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. It's Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, they came over into the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been oft bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And I'll stop there for just a moment. This is a man that is highly possessed here. He can't be bound. He's screaming day and night. He's cutting himself. Got all these things going on in his life. Yet in verse 6 it says, when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshipped him. He knew that peace was at hand, that deliverance was at hand. You know, the devil knows who Jesus is. The devil knows who Jesus is. He knows when it's time to quit too. Because you see, the next thing that happened, verse 7, it says, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. It's just not the man that doesn't want to be tormented. This is the demons that are crying out, don't torment us. We know that you got the power to send us back where we came from. Amen. Let's face it. From what I read from this, the devils didn't want to go back to hell either. You know? Please don't send us back to that place. And he said unto him, come out of them, of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, and he said, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Legion, thousands of demons that were possessing this man. This man had no peace. All he knew was torment. All he knew was the devil tormenting him day and night and all these things happening in his life. Can you imagine what he must have looked like? He was probably dirty. He was probably unshaven. He was all these other things going on. He was cut. He was probably had scabs and bruises and places on him where he had cut himself with rocks and stones and whatever else he could get as these demons tormented him. A man that knew no peace. Well, I'll tell you, it goes on to tell us that the demons, they panicked when they saw Jesus. They panicked when they saw the Prince of Peace. Jesus, please don't send us back where we came from. See those pigs over there? Just let us go into them. Just let us go into them. Well, Jesus said, okay. And pigs took a high dive over the cliff there. They weren't going to put up with it. Verse 15 goes on to tell us then, and they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. You know what? When we sometimes see what the power, especially if you're not a follower of Jesus, and you see what the power of God is, sometimes it makes you a little bit nervous. You better be nervous, because the power of God is nothing to trifle with. And I know of instances and have heard of things of people that have trifled with the power of God, and they have faked, for lack of a better word, faked the power of God. And they have done things to indicate that God was doing something that God was not doing. You better be careful. You better not mess with God. Because Jesus may be the Prince of Peace, but one day He's going to be the Judge. And it won't necessarily be a pretty picture at that point. But this man was in his right mind. What power! Because you see, there was nothing they could do with this man. All they could do was to hope him, keep him contained out here in the tombs. Keep him away from other people, so he wouldn't hurt anybody else. But when Jesus came into his life, when he began to K-N-O-W Jesus, he had peace. You see, prior to that, he had N-O Jesus and had no peace. But now he knew Jesus, he had peace. There's one other story in Scripture that I want to share with you this morning. Here we have the demons had to obey him. Peace came, even though it was a demonic influenced situation that was there. Peace came. But we find a story in Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 36. In fact, it happens just prior to this incident we just talked about. They'd had a great crowd and they'd sent them away. And it says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. How many of you like to be out on a lake or out on the water when it's stormy? Anybody here like to be out there when it's stormy? Steve, you used to be in the Navy. Did you like stormy? It ain't no fun. Well, I've been very fortunate. The only time I've been out on the ocean when they had a storm, I was in a big enough ship that had all the bells and whistles on it that kept it from bouncing around too much. But I also remember one night when they had to pull those I forget what they call them now. It's kind of like a little wing that comes out under the water and helps stabilize it. They had to pull those things in to keep them from getting broken off. And boy, that ship was just tossing and turning. And you were going down the hallway and you were bumping one side of the wall. And your next step, you bumped the other side of the wall, because that's just the way it was twisting and turning. And I kind of imagine maybe this lake here, the sea, was doing the same thing that night, as Jesus and his disciples are on the little boat. And of course, we know the smaller the boat, the bigger the bounce. The smaller the boat, the bigger the bounce when it comes to that stuff. It says, there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he, speaking of Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown? Don't you care that the ship is about to sink? Don't you care? I remember, and I think I may have mentioned this here before, at least to some of you, that the 1986, when we went to Guyana, we were crossing, I believe it was the Essequibo River, going over to the other side from the little town we were at, and we were going over to an Amerindian village, and they put us on this little boat. Now, sun's shining, there's not a rain cloud in the sky, they hand us an umbrella. Couldn't figure that out at first till we got going. You know, the waves were splashing there. And that was to help keep us drier, a little bit drier anyway. And the boat was appropriately named the Full Gospel. It was full of water. They were bailing water out of it when we got over to it, you know. And Mary doesn't swim. I can just barely swim. And I think I've told you, I was sitting there with my hands kind of like this on the edge of the boat. As you see my fingers here, they would have been dangling in the water. It's not much to go till that boat's going to be really full. Yeah. And I said, Lord, surely you didn't send us here to drown. And you know what? Everything went fine. Oh, we got a little wet, but everything went fine. Mary's decided she didn't want to ride on the full gospel anymore, I don't think. But so anyway. But here they are. Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown? In verse 39 it says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. Amen. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. I'll read it to you out of the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, he awoke, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. The wind subsided and there was dead calm. Just the voice of the Prince of Peace was all it took. Even nature had to obey his voice. Going back to the donkey a little bit here. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 through 30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in the heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burdens light. And just as that little donkey, colt, found the burden of the master sitting on his back, a light load, he had peace. So, when we have the Prince of Peace dwelling in us, when we know Jesus, we have him in our heart and we have him in our life, we'll know that peace. Our burden will become light. And even we may be going through some sort of trial that seems like it's going to put us under, yet we can know that Jesus is still on our side. That he's still with us. He's still our burden bearer. He's still the one that's going to be there when things get the toughest. He's going to be the one that we feel holding our hand in the darkness of the night. Jesus. No Jesus, no peace. But know Jesus, and you'll know peace. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. And I just pray, Father, that this message today would have touched the life of those that listen to it, Father, whether it be here in this church or by the internet. And Father, that it would speak to their hearts, Father. And there are some that may be listening today that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They don't have that relationship and they don't have that peace. And I pray, Father, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they can too have that relationship where they will know Jesus and know peace. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.